as we take a moment to gather ourselves, doing whatever little body scan, little meditation, little acknowledgement of the present moment, it's important to ask ourselves, as we follow this path forward, coming back to one of our most favorite places of respite, taking the time to decompress, de-stress, and acknowledge these different transitions. What the fuck even is the path? I don't know. And I think that the most important answer is it really depends. The path is something that truly is unique to you and to whatever your current experience and whatever your journey is, right? And that's why I always warn, and I love the old anarchist saying of no gods and no masters, because anyone who tells you what that path is a fucking full of shit and lying. The only person who can tell you what is the things right in front of you is what you can tangibly understand for yourself, what you've come to understand is your truth. If you don't believe that that bush is green, then I can't talk to you about certain things, right? If I think that bush is blue, it's not exactly how it works, right? So taking the time to figure out what the individualities of our paths are, while being able to use that shared language, is what is able to create these spaces where we can come together and enjoy a moment in the tavern, where we can come together and enjoy just asking ourselves a simple question of the week. It's not easy and always get on the same page and online, especially when there's all these different languages and we've fallen from the Tower of Babel many times. But taking the time to sit there and listen is something we can do at any point. That's all it really takes to align those paths and actually understand where you might be at in your pathway. And I hope that's what we can do here today at the tavern. As always, I am joined by one of the most illustrious people I've ever been graced to have been joined by. Someone who always makes me blush for reasons that I don't fully comprehend in the mortal realm. And someone who I'm pretty convinced is in their own right some kind of weird psychedelic warrior. But, you know, that's for another conversation in a different altered state of mind. Tegan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I was wondering when you would show up.
I know. It took a minute for me to get there. It's with these changing of the seasons and the flights getting longer. The commutes are more people are outside driving around. The commute takes a little bit longer, so I apologize it took me a moment to get here. But I'm happy to have finally survived my bout with tuberculosis and have not died of consumption and have crawled my way out of the swamp to be back here.
Gosh. You know, tuberculosis is actually what took my maternal grandfather's life, so I'm glad you survived that.
It's a hell of a drug, man.
It is a hell of a drug.
I would not recommend it, but I do understand why it adds to the romantic effects of some literary agents, right? And it makes for some beautiful imagery.
I know, coffee nut blood is super sexy.
It's super sexy, but it, like in real life, it's super scary.
Even fictionally, it's a little scary, maybe.
I mean, it depends on like what type of book you're reading. Is it leaning more towards the smut or is it lean towards like more of the fear-based, right? You know, I think it can go both ways depending on the author.
I'll give you that, Tal.
Well, thank you very much. Other than that, though, like, how are you doing? How is everything going for you?
Things are going through the motions. Getting ready for another move date. So just... not quite survive. It's not bad enough to be surviving, but I'm here, but not in a devastating way.
Oh, kind of like painful, like level of presence.
Yeah. Like haven't totally checked out. I'm not feeling, you know, numb and just like you're going through the motions. Like I'm having some fun here and there, even though I am tired, but it's okay.
And it is okay. And I'm happy that you're still able to experience fun in that tired, because that is not always easy to do. And sometimes it's easy to get consumed by just that kind of overwhelmingness. And especially when you're on these transitions that, you know, like you said, getting close to a move date here, and, you know, with the excitement that does come with that, because you just want it to be there, right?
Absolutely. I'd love to fast forward to me being there and all the boxes unpacked magically where I want them.
Just snap the fingers, right?
Yeah. The art is hung up and everything.
You don't want to go through the process of becoming?
Oh, Tal, I, like, no, this is, what, I don't even know, move number 5, 6?
Since too many.
2019, I've had enough. Similar yeah. to you, I've had enough.
Too many and too many coasts.
Yeah, yes. It's enough for me. I'm welcoming the roots. I've been a bit of a nomad the past few years, so I'm very excited to sit.
Well, I do really hope that on behalf of myself and the traveler, that this next stop in your journey is one of sustainability and a little bit of peace, because fuck, I think that we all have something crave. So, and I really hope, you know, as just you're selfishly your little cheerleader in the corner over here, just for my sake. So selfishly, I can get more time with you too, right? Be okay so I can have more time. I need you to be okay so I can selfishly have more time with you. So we need to come to an understanding here.
We are. I'm going to have more time. I'll have more money, which means I can visit you. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah, because I need dad help with that, because I'm a broke-ass bitch. I need all the help I can get for getting your ass over here. In all that introspection that you are doing, in taking the time and effort to both be present and be going through these motions, right? I'm going to take a time to challenge that even a little bit more in life, to dive a little bit deeper. Now, when you're encountering someone new, when you're encountering some situation that's new, some transition from whatever it might be, what do you think are some of your green flags in life?
Well, okay, hold on. My brain is firing off in a bunch of different ways, so I'd like to satiate it and focus.
Okay.
Does the green flag have to be related to change itself, to the event no. I'm dealing with, or this is just as I've grown as a human, I've noticed more and more things that I would call green flags in people? Is that what you're asking?
I think more of the second one. What are just some of the things that you have in people that you've seen are green flags? I think that it is a really interesting perspective, though, of especially in how to deal with transitions and change, though, and some of the kind of understanding what are the green flags for having to accept something like that, though, too, as well, is actually a really interesting question. And I would really love to hear kind of both tangents, if you don't mind.
Okay. Why don't we go, we'll start with the first one of green flags related to changes, either in myself or other people. I think I've come to really admire those who are easily able to speak their mind and their name their feelings, to be more precise, in a thoughtful way. There's a difference to me as I've grown in between somebody who's honest, but like to the point where they're just blunt and they don't really consider how whatever they are saying, even if it is honest, how it might hurt the other person that they're talking to, versus somebody that is able to just, again, like name what's going on with them and just choose their words carefully when describing it. Because I feel like when you don't do that, it's very easy to hurt somebody.
I think that, if I may real quick touch onto that, one of the things I've really noticed that's really interesting is how I engage with people is very dependent on the language they use. And like, I always try to be inclusive and to whatever things, but definitely one of the things I've definitely understood, especially in trying to understand it in media too, especially, right? In trying to understand the literacy of what's being communicated, right? That's been something that I definitely think has been a really important call out right there, and something to be aware of. It's when you can tell when someone's put the effort into, whether it's like I like to use it through like a deconstructionist lens, right? But to really kind of, you know, it's, you can kind of tell when someone's put that effort into understanding identity a little bit more, and empathy, and kind of some of that mindful word choice, right? And it's not 100%, you don't always want to assume, but like you can definitely see that reflected in someone's language, right? In word choice.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. When people are dealing with something they're unfamiliar with, it makes a world of difference if either A, they're willing to admit that they're wrong in a scenario, like if they chose the wrong word in that moment and they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't even realize. And then they correct themselves, versus somebody that you can very easily tell they don't care if you give them an explanation to whatever the heck they might be talking about. So that's a green flag to me when you're sort of in like uncharted waters. Yeah, that's probably the biggest one, honestly. And maybe just like a willingness to be open-minded. And again, like admitting when you're wrong. That's, yeah. That's a pretty big one. So that's my answer to number one. And then number two, just in general, green flags. I think, God, there's so many. It can be something as trivial as, I think it's a big green flag when somebody returns their shopping cart to that area that is designated in a parking lot, or better yet, even in the store. When you're, whatever, shopping for something, just so a service worker doesn't have to go get it. I think that's a huge green flag, and that's a big pet peeve of mine. And something super small that just shows, I don't know, you're a team player, you're a true citizen in a way, a collectivist. But a bigger green flag is, I think, something that you believe in heavily is, to the best of your abilities, of course, matching your actions to your words. Really big one. Makes a world of a difference with people. Lets people easily know they can, like, trust you and, like, rely on you for things. Yeah. And I think, honestly, people who are really patient. Because that's such a... That's something I've struggled with my whole life, but it's not easy to have. And especially if you're frustrated with, like, even a loved one, like a friend or a partner or whatever. I like to be able to remain, for the most part, calm, and work things out, hear the other person out, and just, yeah, really work to not lose the temper. Like, that's crazy to me. That's something that I am always working towards and often failing, but I'm still trying.
Well, it's a really important way of how to show up for someone, like when, like, an action match those words, right? And actually being there in that space with them.
Mm-hmm. So I gave you probably too many answers that you were looking for, but that's what you got.
I don't think there's too many answers to be given. I think that the more green flags we have is actually probably arguably the better, right?
Yeah, I would agree. It lets people know who you are. I don't know. Yeah. You've got me just contemplating now. Reflecting.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. That's exactly what the space is actually intended for. So that is a good one. I'm happy to hear that they gave you kind of a little bit of jolt to think about. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a little bit more to chew on then with my answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one that has come from me, and I think you'll understand exactly where I'm coming from with this, especially with my history, is matching actions to words over the long term. Mm-hmm. I think that just simply that's showing up with how you speak and how you communicate. And then it doesn't, again, no one's perfect and I don't expect perfection, but like the consistency of like that effort of trying to show up and match your actions to your words, right? Because it's really easy to say nice things, I've discovered, right? I think that's one of the things we've all learned in life, especially through social media and online mediums. It's really easy just to say anything, actually. It's really hard to consistently match that over time with your identity and who you are, right? And so continuously see people making that effort to be consistent in who they are, I think really actually not only is a green flagging like, oh, I can trust and rely on this person or something like that, but it really shows that someone's really putting and that effort into understanding who they are. And someone who's taking that time and effort to consistently be who they are is generally someone who I think I can grow a connection with in, whether whatever kind of relationship that might be, right? And something is worth pursuing in business, especially creatively, you know, in relationships, right? I think that another really big green flag that I look for is kind of what you were talking about with patience. I kind of just call it as just simply showing up, right? being present, right? I think that someone taking the time and effort just to continuously be present is like so hard to do for another human for so many different reasons. One, honestly, like there's boredom, frustration, anger, resentment, lust, excitement, infatuation, all these different things just to be present for someone because we get so wrapped up in our own heads about different things, right? And you don't always have to show up like super intimately for everyone. That's not what I'm saying with that. But like taking the time to be present in whatever that kind of connection or exchange that you're having with someone, right, I think really matters. And it's something that I've failed plenty of times with. I think it's something that humans fail with probably more often than not, actually. But you can see that, again, effort in that, and especially in that patience, right? When you're dealing with a frustrating situation and you're dealing with something that where there is a disconnect or you guys aren't mutually aligned, right? Taking the time to keep showing up for that, to find those solutions, really is hard to do and really matters. And seeing people take the time to really just show up and be present for whatever that thing is, I think is the first big indication of something like that. And then I'll actually kind of steal what you were talking about with the first thing, in language. Like, I think language is super fucking, it's one of the biggest green flags. And I'm not talking about how fluent you are in it. I'm not talking about how many different languages you know. I'm talking about how do you speak towards people? How do you speak towards yourself? Do you speak with kindness towards other people? Or do you speak with, poison, honestly, right? Do you speak mindfully of others, or is it this really well-crafted narrative that you can see these little, holes through, right? You talk to anyone long enough, it's not hard to figure out where people stand on things. People will tattle on themselves pretty often.
Yeah, that's a huge one. I really like what you said, not to interrupt your train of thought.
Yeah.
But like how people speak of others is huge, and it is very telling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you can't speak kindly of other people, especially people that you might not have the best of relationships with, that says a lot about you, in my opinion, right? And like, because I think through language is the best way we can understand immediate empathy. And you can really understand if someone's coming from a place of trying to understand or deconstructive perspective, or like I said, in any of those things, just by listening to how they speak and who they speak about and what words they use.
And if you're speaking ill of somebody and it's not, like, there's a way to do it, to express your hurt without just taking cheap shots, almost.
You can be the sweetest person, but then you start talking about some of these very nice people and then they say the most racist, vile, gross things. And they dehumanize things and like that. I'm like, well, there's the disconnects there. Well, then maybe there's some deeper things here that we need to address. You know, it's because people don't oftentimes people don't come out with their hate, you know. People will use very coded languages and that stuff, and it's very scary sometimes when you realize all of a sudden, as someone who, you know, like went through their own experience of red pill and black pilling, right? You know, when I was a teenager and everything like that, and the language that's used for, like, you know, anti-Semitic things, and then at the same time, you know, we can't have an anti-Zionist conversation at the same time because of how language works in the US and everything like that, right? And when we're talking about like how you love someone, like love isn't so much more than how English defines love, right? But so taking the time to like really listen to see like how people describe things and how people describe their interactions with things, you can really, I think, like I said, understand, is a person kind? It's like simply, like, I don't think it's hard to figure out if someone's kind or not, typically, if you just take the time to pay attention and listen to how they speak about people and themselves.
That's a great point.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that.
Sorry, I was trying to give you some space to continue because I know I interrupted you earlier.
Unless
that ship has sailed, because, you know, your brain is like a train, a racing train, and it's hard to get back.
No, not at all. I think that with language and everything like that, ultimately, it's that biggest thing of like inclusivity, right? Because it is to how humans express themselves. I think that's tied into my last big green flag that I really look for on an everyday basis, right? And is that someone just showing up for like themselves? Like, and can you like tell, like, and what I mean by that is Is this person here? And you can tell when someone is not here, and it's really hard to maybe articulate that in what that exactly means on an individual basis. But when you are talking with someone in a conversation, when you are working with someone on a project, playing a video game or something like that, it's like when you know someone's in the notice, they go away, AFK, away from keyboard or something like that. You're like, where did you just go? Like, what's going on? I'm trying to have a conversation with you here. Or, you know, I'm trying to get through this group project or this work assignment, trying to get this reporting done or whatever it might be, right? When, you know, it doesn't matter if there's other things in life going on, you know, typically, because the solution to those kind of things, understanding what's going on with someone's being distracted like that, is just communicating it, right? It goes back into the language one. So that's why I kind of tie it back into the language thing, right? Is if you can take the time to actually be present, and like, if you're not able to be present, just communicate that, right? And that's a really big act of presence right there, and a really, I think, hard thing to do for sometimes, right? Depending on the situation. But having the emotional journey of like, hey, I can't show up like this right now and I need to, whatever, thing like that, I think is like, oh man, it blows me away, dude. I think it's such a badass thing to do for someone to be able to have the emotional regulation to be like, hey, I need a moment here, right? And whatever that context means, so I can figure out how to show up, right? Because I think we get so, especially with the advent of technology, right? We're so distracted by so many different things. And you can always, it sucks when you're like trying to talk to someone and you're like, oh, you're distracted by whatever cool memes on your phone, right? It sucks when, you send that coworker an email and you're like, you didn't even read my response. Like that wasn't, you just did not communicate to me, right? So it's in all those little ways when you're just like, oh, you're not here right now, right? You know, and it's like, it sucks. And it's such a shitty fucking feeling, you know, when you're just like, oh, I'm invalidated. I'm not a person to you. I don't know what I am to you, but it's not a fucking person, apparently. You know, because it becomes a non-thought, right? So taking those times and efforts for someone just showing up and being actually like acknowledging, like when those, through the language and communication, their action, their efforts, there, whatever things, and kind of all those other green flags, like I said, if someone just, you could tell, is present in here, and is able to communicate that potentially when they're not able to be present in here, right? Because that is still how you can show up. That is, in my opinion, it's that kind of paradox of it, right? You're still showing up by communicating that you can't show up, right? That's fine. You're human. You don't need to always show up 100% of the time. It's just, thank you for that communication, right? So those people who you can tell are consistently here, right? In all those little ways, right? I think that is, and that's not something you can just do off the bat, and it's not just an instant green flag, unfortunately, like that. Because, you know, that initial first time you meet someone or interact with something like that, that's how you can get conned out, you know, too, and everything like that. But those people who you can tell in life can consistently doing everything they can in those moments, and whatever that relationship is, whatever that connection is, to just be here and to be showing up as they are, whatever it is like that. That is the combination of all my little different green flags into really what is a green flag for me, right? Is just someone just fucking being present, because there's so many things in life you can't control. But if you're doing your what you can to be here right now, well, then I can have a fucking conversation with you and maybe we can figure out a way forward.
Yeah, I mean, it, in a simplified way, that doesn't address nearly everything you said. It takes two to tango, right?
Yeah. Like,
you can't do something when it's just you that's looking for whatever change or acknowledgement it might be. And you're right, right. It really does fucking suck when your bid for attention is ignored. Yeah.
In any way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just that.
That's a hard one, yeah.
It's a humanizing experience and it sucks. And I think it's the root of so much drama.
Yeah. And there's like some weird shame or stigma associated with the thought of like, I can't be here right now, so like I must be a terrible person. I don't think you probably have receipts, but in my mind right now, I feel like I don't think I've had that shame attached to it. Once I have learned how to be like, listen, I can't do XYZ right now, like I'm really low on spoons or something, you know, just trying to acknowledge that you can't show up for something with somebody. But I know it's a problem. I've seen it in real life with multiple people on like, just not like, they know it in their bones, like that they are not okay. And they need a beat, but they don't want to say it out loud. And which makes it worse. Like you just said, like it's fine if you can't. just say it. You're just looking for some sort of acknowledgement in that way of like, it's not you. I'm not ignoring you. I just had a shit day, or like, I need a moment, or I'm overstimulated, yep, or I need to go home. I'll talk to you later type thing. That's all it takes.
It's something that's, I think, really hard to learn because it's not something our culture supports, and I think so many different ways. How you can always show up, right? How you can always be present, how you can always be giving 110% effort and all these different kind of, synergistic management solutions, right? It's not how humans work. And I think, being able to acknowledge that space difference is ultimately like one of the healthiest things that like think we need to transition our society a little bit for. So
it's almost an act of anarchy if you think, because it goes against everything that capitalism stands for, of just like constant productivity and output and blah blah blah. That's kind of that radical self-care you always talk about, because there's been the improper rebranding of self-care, which is like the face masks and maybe eating your favorite junk food, which can be a form of it. I like to think that's probably more of a form of like rest and nervous system regulation or something like that, something along those lines.
Harm reduction.
Yeah, but I think true self-care is rooted more so in emotional behaviors and mindsets,
personally. Long-term solutions.
Yeah, that's like literally what mindfulness is all about.
Yeah, so. It's how you make the band-aids, make it so they're not band-aids over the long term.
So you can heal the bone, not put a band-aid over something that needs a cast.
Actually taking the time to acknowledge what the reality is, I think, is one of the hardest things to do in life. It's really fucking hard for so many different reasons, because we all want to have our different perceptions on it.
I know. I think it's uniquely equipped people around our age, plus or minus, I don't know, 5 years, maybe 10, I don't know. I'm not going to generalize, but you know what I'm trying to get at. A certain majority of people like can understand that two very different things can be true at the same time. I think because of this, just like realizing multiple things, like you could look at the state of the world, right? And just so many things are wrong, but at the same time, you can try to find things that are going okay or going right and try to exist at the same time. Like
isn't always a bad thing, right? Able to hold two truths is like necessary to be able to like deal with complex solutions and like problems.
Yeah. So like there's a way that it can lead to really bad delusion. Then there are ways where it can help you become a more fully realized person that can look at a situation and see how like layered and complex it is, and like again just work towards some sort of either compromise or middle ground or just something, some solution that can help in the long term.
The ogre is layered, as always. It is always complex and is never simple. And that's why I always like, very similar to the introduction of the meditation, right? The answer is it fucking depends, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it is just taking a time to acknowledge and show up for whatever the fuck it is.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way. Damn, that full circle moment. We should arguably just end it here. Virtual high five.
Well, how about instead of ending it here, we just take a moment to say goodbye to the traveler and acknowledge the space that we've created. So, Tegan, is there any final words that you would like to say?
Can my sigh just be the final?
Yes, it can be. It can be.
I think, the sigh and the giggle, that's what the traveler gets today.
Well, traveler, that's what you're going to get. Thank you so much for joining us here today. What are your green flags in life, I guess, is what I should be in theory saying to promote, I guess, the content that I created. But in reality, the only thing I really give a fuck about saying right now is you are loved. You are enough. Thank you for creating the space wherever you might be at in your journey right now. And remember, don't let anyone else tell you what the fuck your path is. Figure it out for your fucking self.
Period.